Okay, well, I guess we can get started. Pat's absent. Other than that, all of our board is here.
What time is it?
It would be 9:04. Would anybody like to adopt the agenda?
I make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Anybody want a second?
Second.
Any opposed? Public comments for non-agenda items. Anybody have any comments they'd like to bring up? Okay, none. Approved minutes from regular meeting of October 13, 2018. Would anybody like to move or do we want to read them? What's the board's pleasure?
Well, I've already read them.
Would you like to move to adopt them?
Okay, I move to adopt the minutes.
Would anybody like to second?
I'll second it.
Any opposed? Okay. Reports of committees. Road committee.
Road committee doesn't have much to report on. Most of it will be in line item 8. The only thing that's happened I've noticed is looks like two young ladies rebuilt the bulletin board. I don't know where they get all the energy from, but very nice job, very well appreciated, and I know a lot of people don't notice it, but
I don't know how they can.
I appreciate the work.
It looks fantastic.
Done.
Thanks. It really fixed it. Came out.
So thank you. Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Rita. And whoever.
It was fun.
Whoever helped you.
We're not quite through, but almost. Almost now. Just back. Looks good, I think.
No, it looks fantastic.
And Joan put some pretty decorations in it, and it looks good. This is Happy Thanksgiving, and
Okay, well, thank you, Bill. Rules Committee, I don't think we have a whole lot to report right now. We're still working on everything, including the bylaws. And I'm sure we'll get to that at the next board meeting again.
Quick question.
Sure.
As far as rules versus bylaws,
yeah.
Where would, like, if we establish fines for...
Rules.
Fines for that goes in. Okay.
That's rules. Yep. Which is nice because we can adopt them. All we have to do then is notify the members of the new rules, and then 30 days we enact them,
okay.
Rather than having to change bylaws.
That works for me.
So it's a little simpler process. And I'll go over, I haven't had a chance, I was going to write you a nice email about the difference on between the CCRs and the bylaws. And even that stuff you found, that's good information. But unfortunately, what's going to hang us up, even if we spend the money to go to court, because that's what you have to do, you have to spend money to go see a judge. Then, according to the way the law is written, doesn't mean a judge won't interpret it different, and they hopefully would, but the way the law is written, you still have to get all the lien holders to approve it, which is the worst part. That's the part you can't get a hold of, and you're not going to get them to approve anything.
Well, I think it would be viewed differently because they're so old, and I was rereading them again. I mean, does Dynasonics even still exist? They're not the owners anymore.
No.
And
no, but the CCRs stay as long as nothing in them violates current law. If something violates current law, we can change them easily.
That the declarant, I mean, there's something in there that says that should be gotten rid of because they don't apply anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just... It's very
but since
convoluted.
It doesn't apply, it's just historic in there at this point anyway, because it doesn't have any effect.
Well, if anybody complains, I already know who it's going to be.
Yeah. But the CCRs is the tough one to change.
The CCRs, I mean.
It's the tough one to change. And it's a shame because we could do more if we could add it to the CCRs. But maybe someday we'll see if we can get a list of all the lien holders and see if we can even contact them. Or talk to an attorney over it and see if an attorney thinks. Because
right.
A judge can interpret the law however they see fit. We see that all the time.
Yes.
So
when the laws are passed, the other judge.
So they might just say that, you know, you don't need to get a hold of all the lien holders, just a majority or something.
Right.
So it might be something for us to look at.
I think so, definitely.
Luckily, right now, they don't really affect a city. It's just that we can't do anything else.
Right.
And there's things that I'm sure the community would want us to do if we could.
Yeah. Why can't you ask Linford if he has any suggestions on
it? We can. Yeah, we can ask him.
Because he probably is up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we know if we have to do that anymore.
But other than that, I haven't been working too much on rules. I've been doing mostly the annual policy. So, although there are some things that we need to adopt that I ran across with this, but for right now, we'll just go with, but the law says, and we won't have our own rules. So basically, no report. Reports of officers and directors. Do we have a treasurer's report?
Yes. When I go to the bank Monday, we will have $29,594.92.
All right.
And our savings, we still have $17,781.59. But we'll be putting more into it.
And we finally got the credit card address straightened out, right?
They sent me a letter saying that it had been changed, wanting to make sure that was okay with me.
I can't guarantee otherwise.
And that's all I can tell you is they sent me a letter saying that it was changed.
And I went to the bank when I left my last deposit, and there was nobody there.
Of course.
One teller, a line. I don't particularly care.
Yeah. And it's not Union Bank's issue. It's U.S. Bank card because they're the card issuer.
I understand
issuer.
That.
And they're a pain.
Yeah. But I thought they should help us. And he said he did.
Yeah. And they did. It just takes forever because it goes through this bank to that bank. And
well, we did pay the $30, and we will just have to find out because I reread what you're...
It should give us a credit for that on the next bill.
Which will make it easy.
Yeah, it should be on the next bill. It's just they didn't issue the credit before the statement went out, so the $30 charge is on it. And if you don't pay it, it's late.
Right.
So you pay it, and then it's a credit on the next one.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Too bad we all can't pay back for that, huh?
Yeah.
How about a secretary's report? Do we have anything to report?
No, not really.
Neither does the president, so we're good with those. Okay. Discussion and possible action to implement assessment increase for 2020. And while nobody likes to increase anything, we know we don't have any money, so...
We have to.
I would like that postponed till January so that the new board votes on it. At the December meeting, I plan on having a whole bunch of figures for the roads.
Oh.
This costs this costs that costs that, this costs this. And we can say to the people in January, to accomplish what we want to get done is $200,000, let's say. Our budget does not cover that, and so therefore, the reason for requesting this increase is to cover the cost in repairing the roads. If we asphalt this, it's so much. If we lay so much shopping, it's this much. It all adds up, but at the end of 4 or 5 years, we just won't have enough money to pay for the roads. As much as I hate to burden everybody with an increase, I will point out that Mountain Meadows pays $400 a lot.
And
units back there
pay
$200 a lot. And, with 400 units and 80,000 coming in a year, you can do wonderful things. Well, we just can't do wonderful things on the budget that we have, so we're going to have to request it from the new board in January based on all the figures we throw at them, we learn in December. Mountain Meadows paid $300,000 to have all their roads, have an oil base put down on all their roads to seal the top of the road. They use an S250 or an S275, and as I said, at a cost of $300,000.
Sure.
We couldn't do that in 10 years. But we need to say, if we go this route, you're going to have this much money, and if we put so much money away in year 8, we would, But we got to know what we're talking about money-wise. We can handle the insurance, we can handle basics, but the big road repairs, we're way behind.
Well, and the problem that we have is we, because of our bylaws, we can only go up $10 a year without going to a vote.
Do what?
We can only go up $10 a year without going to a vote.
It's easy to approve in January.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't make any difference because we've got until August to send the bills out.
Right.
Yeah.
So the board can easily push it off and do it next year.
I would like it to be approved with figures in front of people's faces so when they say to you, Randy, why did you do this? Well, the road committee came up that if we do the following projects, we're going to spend $175,000, and we can only raise in 5 years, you know, $50,000. You figured it out, you know. What do you want? Bad roads or?
Well, even the rate increase isn't going to change it.
No.
Because we can only go up $10.
And
we are going to have to actually put in a bigger rate increase, but it's going to have to go to a vote.
The difference between waiting until January and doing it now is the last of the year notices that we sent out.
We could include it, but we can include it with their, well, it wouldn't be right to include it with the bill. We'd have to send another letter.
Yeah.
Where a rate increase.
We need one more newsletter at the end of the year.
Yeah, it'd be better to put it in that newsletter so they're pre-warned anyway, and then if you want to wait until January to enforce it, but it's not going to be enforced until August anyway, right?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about a newsletter. That's something we should. We should try and get to go with this because the postage is going to be ridiculous anyway, so we might as well throw a newsletter in it too. As big as it is, it's not going in an envelope, so we're going to be sending manila envelopes, so we might as well stuff them.
That's right.
Why won't it go in an envelope? Doesn't look that sick.
Because there's still the financial to go with it, which is going to be another two pages.
Oh,
and there's already 8 pages there, so it's going to be 10 pages.
Oh, okay.
See, that's
that
it.
Alone would go in an envelope.
Well, could we fold them in half and put them in the smaller manilas?
Yeah, I was going to look and see what the price difference was between the two different sizes of manila envelopes.
Yeah.
The large ones are probably cheaper.
Really?
Yeah, because they make them by the train load, where the smaller ones, they're not as popular, they cost more.
I think it's only fair to put out the numbers for the people so they can see.
Well, and the financials will go with this.
What it is we're dealing with,
That's what why I was up till 2 o'clock. I was still working on getting all of our stuff in QuickBooks so we can make nice printed reports of all these expenses and stuff for the past few years to go along with this. So everybody is going to be aware of what it costs to operate.
Yeah, because we're really operating low. We just don't have it.
Yeah. But anyway, it's up to the board. We can either vote on it now or we can push it off. Again, the advantage to doing it now is we can add it to the newsletter and get it out with this and not have to spend extra postage next year.
Before Christmas.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Or, again, we could do it in January, and when we send out the spring newsletter, that would still go out before
it would, but
the billing.
It would be nice to notify people way ahead because they're going to have to worry about that extra $10. Some people are on a very tight budget, I know, and so they need to. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know a lot of people on a tight budget, and so we need to have it.
I think more advanced notice, the better.
I think so, too.
Well, and again, that's why it's on here, so it's up to the board what they want to do. But it's a $10 increase. That's the most we can do without it going to the vote of the members. It's not enough to do anything. But I think we should be doing it every single year for quite some time now.
Well, we can do a $12 increase.
Mm-mm.
That's 10%.
$10 is the maximum. According to our bylaws. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. That's some of our limiting factors.
The bylaws or the CCRs?
I'll have to go back and look. I'm not sure. I think it's the bylaws.
I thought it was CCRs.
I thought it was the CCRs.
If it's the CCRs, we're really in the...
You're really in the hole.
Yeah. Which means we'll never be able to change it, most likely, or not without spending a whole bunch of money we don't have with the court. Because just to get into court is $4,000.
Well, it's not a battle. It's just asking the judge to give us permission.
Right. Yeah,
to change
$4,000.
But that's about what it costs just to get in there by the time the lawyers prepare all the paperwork and everything.
Yeah.
Because they have to do all the work. I mean, when you go see a judge, The judge doesn't tell you what to do. Your lawyers have to write the order, and then the judge approves
that.
It. So it costs a lot of money to write all this stuff up.
But that's what I'm talking about. I don't need to spend any money for that.
Yeah. But anyway,
I'm gonna save money.
Yeah, and that's why I think
sometimes we don't have a choice.
We should just automatically every year put the $10 increase in.
Yeah, right.
And
you might even put that in the newsletter when you put the additional $10. Say it's going to be $10 every year.
Yeah, I would. I would just tell people this is what we expect to do because it wasn't done for so many years. Because I mean, what did the Duke start out
really
with? Like $30, I think.
$17,
and they've gone up $10. You know, then 10 times in what, 40 years?
Yeah.
50 years?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
No, it's crazy.
Yeah. Not even that.
I mean, I can understand if it was a month, you know, $10 a month.
Right.
But a year?
Exactly. Well, and most associations, you do pay monthly because it's $600-$700 a month.
I know. Well, my son, he has a condo down in Lynchburg.
Look at Bear Valley.
It's
not paying
for lower than his, now it's higher than his mortgage.
So what do we want to do? Does anybody want to move to increase it, or do we want to table it?
I have moved to increase it now.
I should
and notify it.
And then, yeah.
But we're still going to need your numbers in December.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, that's an ongoing process we'll keep working on.
Is anybody opposed? Okay. That brings us to workshop. Meet with road committee and develop a maintenance plan.
Okay, we can have fun now.
Yes, we can.
Okay. First off, I spoke to Kern Asphalt. They're willing to work with us. We have a representative coming up, and we're going to discuss asphalt road solutions, toppings you can put on, repairs that can be made. I'm not sure, but I want them to take the lead and tell us what we need to do on the asphalt roads.
Mm-hmm.
They also offer a service where they can do all the road grading. They offer a service where they can do the road grading and put a topping on the roads. We're going to discuss the toppings because I don't have the education or the knowledge of what they're doing. Whatever they do, we're going to get a quote in writing saying that they will do Sand Canyon, Recoat, blah, 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 for this much money. I'm not going to ask them for Sunview and Horseshoe. It's really going to get out of hand and really get scary with the price budget.
Well, one of the things that we should also ask them for is an approximate cost per 100 foot or so to pave dirt roads.
Yes.
Just an approximate, because you can't get a hard number until you actually get, you know, because the prices are volatile because of the price of oil and everything else.
Yeah.
But if we could get an approximate, you know, number, we can put that into a long range plan because we know over a 40 year period, we should pave everything. And by the end of that 40 years, you start over paving everything. So that at that point, it's a continuous process, and we can come up with an annual budget.
The thing that you brought up about putting down an asphalt road is the cost of the maintenance,
mm-hmm.
whether we can even afford to maintain that road.
Right.
So probably what I'll do is ask them to give me a quote on Morgan Lane on putting a coat of asphalt. I'll ask them for putting a coat in on Morgan Lane and Halter. What is the cost of that?
You can even get that as a per 100 foot, you know, what's it cost a slurry coat?
Yeah.
Because that's something that needs to be done about every 5 years on asphalt.
Yeah.
Yep, and that needs to be lumped into what our annual operating cost. And what the advantage is, once we have an annual operating cost to maintain the roads, then we can give that to the people and tell them, here's what your assessments would be to cover this. Now, if you don't want to pay that much, tell us what you don't want us to do.
That's
and that way, then it takes away the complaining. They can't say, well, you didn't pave this or you didn't do that. Well, this is what you said. And you didn't give us money, so that's why it's not done.
The things that Kern can do is they could do a yearly grading on the dirt road. quotes, that will be comparable with what I'll be asking other contractors to give us.
And the good thing about that is that that's our option. See, we've got we can grade the dirt roads, but if it costs almost as much as the paving does over 40 years, you know, you have to, that's where you have to justify the numbers.
When they spoke about grading the dirt roads, initially they gave me a cost of $14,000-$15,000.
Yeah.
This included a backhoe. They were going to go around and dig out the dirt on the sides of the roads and in the gullies and in the ditches and dump the dirt back in the road so it can be regraded. The only thing they did not include was water. We didn't have a price on putting water down on the roads.
Right.
But anyway, that is the type of proposals I'm hoping to get from them. So we know what it costs to repair an asphalt road. We know what it costs to make an asphalt road. We know what it costs to put a coating on a dirt road, and we know what it costs to grade all the roads.
Yep.
That will give us something to talk about.
Yep.
That was
definitely. And that's the thing, you know, the water, having to put water on the roads to grade every time is one of the things that makes maintaining dirt roads very expensive, where once you pave them, now you don't need the water anymore.
Yeah.
I like living on a dirt road.
So when Randy finds that cheap water truck,
I haven't found. They're not cheap anymore.
I know.
The economy has turned. You can tell because when you go to the auction, the prices have gone way up.
Everything's going up.
I'll tell you, used water trucks are 10 times what they were 2 years ago.
Really?
10 times for used water trucks.
Yeah.
That's how much they've gone up because of the economy.
A solution to that is maybe talk to Mountain Meadows and find out what kind of equipment they have and see if they would lease us a water truck for a month. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something we can just ask them. They don't want their vehicle sitting there making no money. Mm-hmm. If they can make a little bit of money.
Maybe,
yeah. But, you know, it's something we can ask and discuss.
One of the downsides to that is you're taking on a... we're taking on a vehicle that we don't know the condition of. If something breaks, you know.
I agree.
Rental, you're better off going with a rental company when you want to rent that stuff.
It's about to break.
My roommate Marcus has said if we do get a water trailer, he will do everything in his power to keep it running.
Mm-hmm.
The man is an incredible mechanic. He's been working on vehicles since he's 12 years old. He knows all about heavy stuff, light stuff, and he worked up in Alaska on machinery, so he kind of knows what he's doing.
Yeah, if we get lucky, we'll eventually maybe we'll get.
Yeah, well, he would gladly go with you and tell you what the condition is of the engine. Or,
yeah, most of the time with the auction, you don't have that much of a luxury. I just buy them and fix them. And that's why I'll only buy it if it's cheap.
Yeah,
because then I know we can afford to fix it. That's the same way I've been getting all the rest of the equipment around here.
Anyway, that will take care of Kern Asphalt and what they will be offering for us. And if we can have all those prices in December, we will be able to have a good meeting and, you know, just look at different things and know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to put a kind of an outline together of the kind of things that we need for maintenance, because we need to include basically a deferred maintenance plan in the annual policy statement. It has to go out. We have to tell people the things that we aren't doing.
Okay.
You know, so they're aware of it, and that's kind of the outline I'm going to give them, and along with it, we'll give an explanation that we're working on putting together a long-range road plan, so that everybody will know what it's going to cost.
Okay.
But I'll put together some kind of an outline. I'm not going to get carried away with it. I'm not going to get into a lot of detail. It's just going to be a brief. Here's the things that we can't afford to do, so we haven't been doing, and neither is anybody else, and we'll get more information for you.
Anyway, I had a few contractors come up. The last contractor I spoke to was Eaton Construction.
Mm-hmm.
Eaton Construction did the concrete, did George's Folly and other concrete work for us about 8-10 years ago. I thought they did pretty good work. The only complaint was from Liz because she doesn't understand what the speed limit is when you go through a concrete wash. But that's okay.
Really?
Anyway, when Eden came up here, I asked him, what would you do on Sand Canyon at the wash? I didn't want to tell him how to do it. I didn't want to offer suggestions. I said, how would you handle this? I wanted them to talk to me and tell me what they needed done.
Right.
We discussed things, and I don't know if we discussed them with Randy, but he's going to give me a shop drawing, he's going to give me a quote, and he's going to send them over here so we know what we're talking about. He did discuss putting a wall in. He did discuss digging down 2 feet and, you know, put a good footing in down there, rebar the road, concrete it all across, remove the asphalt. He will provide 80-90% of the signage. We will have to help with the detour road around there for 3 days probably. Bat's given us permission to use her property, so it just be a short jog off and a short jog over and you're back on Sand Canyon. We'll need to make sure we have 5 mile per hour signs and detour signs.
We have a detour.
Anyway, he's going to give me a price on the concrete wash there. I also requested a price on a concrete barrier on Horseshoe Lane by George and Shelley's house where the water is eroding the asphalt road away. Where the water comes on the asphalt road, we have a nice wash and it's fully covered in dirt and the water just runs right on and off the other side. It's the other side's getting washed away. Done a temporary fix, but he'll give us a price quote on that too. He also pointed out to me that he used to grade the roads for the Valley Association many years ago. So he's going to give me a price on grading of the dirt roads, a once-a-year contract. It will be done up right at the end of rainy season to try and eliminate the water trucks as much as possible. And we're going to get a price on that.
Yeah, that's what he did mention that to me. Yeah.
He also had solutions for putting a coating on top of the dirt roads. Mm-hmm. Randy spoke to him about some of that. I don't understand the coatings, but we're going to get some quotes on that too. So it was a very positive job work. He told us what to do, what he would do, what he needs, blah blah blah, and you know, we'll just see what all the prices are. I also contacted Oscar's and I set up Oscar for a job work. I called him, we arranged a time, I met out there. For some reason, Carl showed up, told the guy what to do, instructed him explicitly that this would be done and that would be done, and I did not really appreciate it one bit, to put it bluntly. Anyway, I know he's trying to help, but I really wanted to ask him to say, well, this is what I would do.
Right.
And I didn't get that opinion.
Get multiple ideas.
So,
yes.
And we also did not get an opinion on the concrete wash on Horseshoe because I was just totally ignored. Nobody spoke to me. And so I just said goodbye and walked away, you know. And Carl said he's going to get prices and get this and get that. I don't know. I've had a conversation with Carl. It sounded like Carl wanted to help with the road work and the road committee and so forth next year. I do not want it done under these conditions. Carl is also going to restore the relationship with Birch Construction and get the quotes that he got on the asphalt roads that you guys had a couple of years ago and find out what he can on the asphalt roads and also present that to the board. If it's not in writing, I don't want to hear about it. If there's nothing that I cannot give Randy, I don't want to hear about it. I'm tired of verbal, I'm tired of second grade work, and that's why we're asking good people to come in here and work. I don't question Oscar, because Oscar's done some really good work up here, especially on Horseshoe Lane. I just wish he'd dealt with me instead of going behind my back and dealing with Carl. But that's all things that can be worked out, but at the next meeting, if we can get the prices from Birch, the prices from Kern, the prices from Eaton, the prices from Oscar, it'll give us a way better understanding and a little bit better direction in the way we want to go. So that's what I've been working for. And then when I have trouble, I call this guy and I say, hey, can you talk to him? And I know I pick up people willing to help. And we just want the contractor to say, this is what you do.
Another resource you might try is Bowman Asphalt.
Who?
Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N.
Okay.
They've been doing quite a bit of work out here. They're doing the stuff in front of the truck stop right now, the repaving that they had to do in there.
Okay.
They're the ones that did Umtali Road. And while they didn't do a fantastic job on Umtali, most of that I blame on Kern County. That was their fault, the way that they wrote the specs and everything. Bowman did the best they could with what they had to work with. But and it's, honestly, they did a pretty good job. The road's not bad. The county just way over-engineered it and just... And
if anybody knows of any other contractors that do this type of work, I'll be happy to contact them. Kern and Birch have always offered to come up here and talk to us and give us prices, and both companies have always been really helpful. With Kern, I did a contract for $10,000 about 8-9 years ago. It was a coating on Sand Canyon, and they put down a coating, then they put 2 pounds of sand on top of that. I wasn't very impressed. It looked like nothing. You didn't see any improvements, but as I told the people, we don't know what the corrosion factor would have been if that was not done. Mm-hmm. Would the roads be falling apart at twice the rate? I don't know. But anyway, that's all decisions and work and stuff we're going to have to come up with. But as long as we got contractors willing to come out here, give us prices with the proper paperwork, make sure they have a contractor's number, they got insurance, you know, we can work with them.
Yeah, Gary is the guy's name at Bowman that does most of their estimating.
Okay.
And I got his phone number here for you. This is his cell phone.
But
and he's familiar with this road. He's looked at it a few times.
All I want to do is keep rolling it so
yep.
We can learn more and more and more and more.
Yeah.
I never even heard of calcium chloride on roads.
They've been using it for over 100 years.
Okay.
They were using calcium chloride in the horse and buggy days. What it does, you mix it in with the dirt, but just by putting it on with water, it goes down usually 2-3 inches if you put enough on. Each year when you put it on, it gets a little bit more and it goes a little deeper. You just keep putting it on. But what it does is it absorbs the moisture out of the air. So every morning, you know, when the dew is on the ground, it sucks that into the dirt and then holds it in the dirt so the dirt's moist all the time to cut the dust down. And it helps keep the road bound together. That's how it functions.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wintertime, but in summertime, we don't have any moisture.
We have some. There's moisture in the air.
With the
not a lot, but there's some.
Yeah.
With the oiling of the roads, we have to have a minimum temperature of 80 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
We're willing, if anybody wants to go out to Mountain Meadows and inspect the roads, they can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that he said that will give you an idea of what we're doing to the roads. I haven't been able to get out there yet, but I plan on it. I hope a couple of other people can look at the roads in Mountain Meadows and say, hey, that was nice. So
oiling works
boy,
good.
Boy, Bill, that was a waste of money.
Oiling works good, but it's like pavement. If you're not doing it on a continuous basis, it's going to pothole and it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
And oil's not very thick. It doesn't soak in that far, so it doesn't take much to break it down. And once it's broke down, you got to recoat it or it's worse.
That's what we need to establish is what kind of a maintenance plan are we going to do?
At least with
every
the
year.
The advantage to the calcium chloride is if you don't maintain it, it's still just a dirt road. It's not worse because of the potholes.
Right.
It's the same old dirt road.
Yep.
That's the biggest advantage. You can stop maintaining it at any time without any real detriment. It's just not going to, it's going to get dusty again.
Right.
But again, there's plenty of different options, and that's what we have to do is what's the cost for each one and figure out which one fits us the best.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm hoping Carl will be a part of the team and not just my way of the highway guy.
Well, I wrote me a note, and I think for next year, one of the jobs this board is going to have to do, again, with the bylaws, I'm hoping we get rid of the road committee because I think it's redundant. I think what we need to do is the board needs to appoint a road commissioner, a person that's responsible to take care of the roads. And that way, there's one point of contact and rather than a committee. Committees, doing everything by committee is terrible.
No.
Because everybody's got to meet, to make decisions, then it's all got to come to the board. It's just a waste of time. Where if we have a road commissioner, take care of it.
No.
And just report back once in a while. And tell us if there's a problem.
The main thing is for us to get things in writing and present them to the board and answer their questions. And if they don't understand something, we need to help them understand it. Then we all know what we're talking about. Then we all make decisions.
And once
but
we get a...
him talking to them...
That's what we need, one point of contact. The other thing is, as we mature a little bit and we learn more about the roads and what we should be doing for maintenance and things, then we can start writing specs to give to contractors so we can get quotes on the same job from several people and compare apples and apples.
Yeah.
But we don't know enough yet to do that because we don't know what we want. So you can't write specs if you don't know what you want.
Exactly. And as a side note, we need Pat's permission in writing too.
Yeah, we should put that in writing.
She hasn't forgotten.
And we can do that. It doesn't need to be extravagant. Yeah, doesn't need to be extravagant, but we need it in writing so we can give it to our insurance company.
Right. Yeah.
That way we're covered. Because that's something else. It should go to our insurance company so they know we're doing this project and here's how we're doing it, and we're covered. If something goes wrong, they pay.
I always thought it would be nice if we had a little booklet that told us how to do stuff. When we're all gone, and the next board comes on, instead of going...
Actually, I kind of mentioned that to Randy, because there's so much...
Well, it says here in the booklet,
SOPs.
These are the jobs you have to take care of. You have to take care of insurance, blah, 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 blah. And then we have to help them out a little bit.
Yep. That's something, it's not easy to do, but we need to start jotting notes down, and then we can start putting it. And that's kind of what we're trying to do with our rules and our policies, because that's a policy manual. That policy manual covers that. Mm-hmm. Here's what has to be done, and when it has to be done, and how we do it.
Yeah.
Well, I've already decided that when your membership, when your time is up, I want to hire you for $1 a year and have you run the meetings.
That's another thing that I'm working on in the bylaws is getting rid of the term limits. Because that's the biggest problem I see with the association right now. Every time you get a board that starts learning what to do, they're termed out, and you have a new board that doesn't know anything. They have to learn it all over again. So it's a continuous learning process.
Thanks to Bill's report today, my understanding of the roads increased exponentially.
And then you're going to be on.
Yeah,
See, that's the problem. And I also want to stretch the elections out. I want the terms to be 4 years,
you know,
so we don't have to have elections every year.
That's money.
A couple $1,000s a year.
Well, let me tell you, the minutes that Joan's been doing this year, I think are fabulous. I don't think we've had this ever had such a good job done.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
The reason also for that is we have a great agenda for Joan to work with. And everything that we discussed is open. She doesn't have to, you know, not talk about nothing. If she hears it, write it. You hear it, you write it. If they don't like it, that's it.
Well, and that's why we're doing the recordings, too. Well, you want to listen to this, all the garbage?
Yeah.
Have at it. You can listen.
You know, if things are always done in this kind of manner, there will always be success for a board.
Yeah.
But it takes people, takes volunteers and other people.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I know we've got more work to do on the roads, but right now most of it is waiting to get some more information from contractors. I think by the first of the year, I think we'll be getting a pretty good handle on it, which is the middle of winter, so we can't do much anyway, but by the time spring gets here, we should have a pretty good plan in place.
And we can decide what we're going to do in January or February, then we can release the work and have it done in March, April, depending on the rain we get, and or whatever we're doing. And we just make chip away a little bit.
And we know
time.
We're not going to have a whole lot, because even right now we've got $30,000 in the bank. That's with leaving us a little bit of cushion, putting some money away again next year, and everything else. It's going to go fast.
Take away that $7,500 right now.
We're probably only going to have about $10,000
right
at the most to spend on roads next year.
Yikes!
And even if we do that, if we spend that $10,000 in the following year, we don't have any either. So
and we
have very little.
We might decide we're just going to save everything and just have call this guy with a tractor maintain the dirt roads, and so we have the money, you know, to begin a program the following year.
Well, that's what most of this, I think, what we're going to be doing is just telling people here's what needs to be done. In the meantime, here's what we did, and that's probably it's going to be minimal grading on the worst parts, and that's about all we're going to get done.
When we go to the annual meeting next year, we can have all these things laid out and say, this is your wish list. You want a better road? Well, the better road costs this much. You want all the roads graded? Oh, well, that costs this much. You want topping on the road, doctor, you know.
Right.
Oh, well, maybe I shouldn't ask.
Well, we have to educate everybody. Everybody needs to know.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it takes.
With education will come success.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now we get to the next workshop, the annual statement that we have to get out. And the first thing we can do is decide if we want to put it in this format. I did put our nice drawing on there as a watermark. It's not obtrusive. It doesn't stand out and make you, you know,
I thought it was a smudge.
Make it hard to read. It's just enough to where you know it's there.
Well, the reason is I didn't really see the shape of it.
Yeah, it's enough so you know it's there. We don't have to include it, but I thought, you know, I wanted to at least let everybody see what it looked like. I took a few minutes and put it together just to see it.
Yeah, I like it, man. I didn't know what it looked
like. I haven't tried photocopying it, but typically, and the reason you do a watermark is when you photocopy it, it gets darker, so you know it's been photocopied.
Oh. Yeah.
I think it actually came out great.
It did.
Anything more than that gets in the way of reading it.
Right.
This is enough to where you can see it, but it doesn't get in the way of reading it.
Okay. And it's a mountain. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
No, I think it's fantastic.
I had to envision an entirely different thing.
Well, from sitting over here, all I could see is this. Right. I couldn't see the rest of it.
Yes.
But now that I can see the whole thing.
Yep.
Did you try putting it?
No,
up here?
You can't put the watermark in the header.
Oh, you can't.
It's going to be in the body.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, it won't go. I don't think I've never tried to put one in the header. I don't think you can put it in the header.
Okay.
I mean, we could. Well, the next thing that we need to come up with is a logo, probably with this same watermark in the Mountain Valley, into something, you know, that we can put on a car door.
Right.
And then we can shrink that same thing down and put it up here in the header as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put our little logo in there.
Oh, this is perfect the way it fits
yeah.
in.
Yeah, but that's because that is missing up here. We should have a logo.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
and that's what logo. I did with the water district. When I made the logo up, then I shrunk it down to fit on the
yeah.
paperwork. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this turned into 8 pages already. I think I can shrink it some because we don't need... I know we want to give our name and address on everything, but because this is going to be stapled together like this, we could probably eliminate the header.
You only need it on one page, yeah.
Yeah, and we could probably get rid of the last page that way. It'll fit on 7 pages, so we've got room for some more stuff because we're going to have to put more.
Make copies of this, but this all has to go with it too.
Right, so that if we got rid of this page, then that would be on the back of this one or something. Yeah.
We have a financial statement too.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I'm working on that right now, so that we'll have one, and that's gonna. I'll throw it out here. Yeah, it's amazing. I'll throw it out right now for next year. One of the things that I want to bring up for discussion is changing our fiscal year and move it away from the calendar year to June or July to June fiscal year. Because right now, we have to put this stuff out by the end of November. So you can't really give a year-end financial statement because the year's not over yet.
That's right.
If we were ending our year at the end of June, that would give us 4 months to do the financial statement and everything and include a full year with the report instead of a partial year.
Sounds reasonable.
So people would get a better snapshot, and we have the luxury of having more time. We could actually probably get these out in October instead of in November, and it still would be complete.
What did the CCRs or the bylaws state the calendar year?
The bylaws, I think, is the only one. I don't think it's in the CCRs.
Because if it's in the CCRs?
If it's in the CCRs, we're screwed. But I'll look and see. But that's one of the things that I want to look at and see if we can't do is change our fiscal year because it'll make our reporting a lot easier. But regardless, we'll have a partial year one for this time. I'll probably cut it off in October so that, you know, so it's reasonable and we'll get at least most of the year in there. So people know where we're at least.
Right.
But anyway, the majority of this I cut and pasted right out of the civil code. And this is the things that are required by the civil code to be in here, which is why I cut and pasted it. I actually put the code numbers in and everything so everybody can see what it is. The biggest portion of it is this stupid notice, assessments, and foreclosure. It has to be in 12-point type, and you have to have the entire thing in here. So that's almost 3 pages right there.
And who's going to read it?
Nobody.
You know, nobody. Exactly.
But the law says we have to put it in here.
Who's going to read it?
Nobody.
That's what I just said, yeah.
But I cut and pasted it right out of there, right out of the code.
Yeah.
And so that's what's in here. And then we adopted a lien and foreclosure process and assessments of late charges and penalties. So, and we said we wanted to publish those, so I went ahead and put them into the annual statement. That way everybody can see what they are. These are the ones we adopted.
Yeah.
So, again, we've got the legal stuff and we've got the stuff that we wanted, but the majority of it is the stuff that's legally required. A little bit of it we can summarize, but then we would still have to print copies for anybody that wanted them, and we'd have to put them, post them and make them available to everybody. And I figured if we summarized it, it might cut down 1, maybe 2 pages. Not enough to matter. We might as well just put it in here. And it's already to the point where it's going to have to go in a manila envelope anyway. We might as well just include everything and be done. That way nobody's going to request anything else that we have to mail again.
I don't know. That's already going to be something.
So this was, the best that I came up with. I figured cover the bases, just give them everything, and because it's going to be a dozen pages by the time we're done, mm-hmm. especially if we throw a newsletter in.
Yeah.
So it's not going to fit in an envelope. It's going to be going in a manila envelope or something similar.
Is this your address?
Mm-hmm.
If people going to your house are going to have a hard time finding it.
UPS knows where they are. It's for overnight delivery.
Overnight delivery by UPS or FedEx.
Okay, because
they want their payment.
Because your entry is off of Stable. And
no, actually, we have an entry on Appaloosa. We just everybody just takes Stable.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought that's
our actual address.
I thought you didn't want people going up that way.
Well, it's easier for people to come down Staple and go out on Appaloosa because people.
Going on that roller coaster.
You should have seen them. I gave Val and Rory a table, and oh my God. Them trying to get out of my driveway, it was terrible.
Well, and one thing, if you'd like, I mean, I hate putting people's personal addresses and stuff in.
Oh, I don't mind. Everybody knows where I live anyway.
Because, you know, this stuff gets out to everybody, anybody and everybody.
Right.
So the option would always be that we can use this address. Now, I mean, somebody's not here all the time, but we usually get UPS and FedEx. They know our hours and everything. And that's available if we wanted to do that instead of putting yours on there. But it's your choice.
Well, it went out last year with my address, so it didn't matter.
Okay. The biggest difference is this is going to end up on our website, too. So I don't know if you want... But that's a, you know, I don't have a problem putting mine out there either.
Shotgun loaded next to the
I don't have a problem putting mine out either. I do the same thing, but
yeah. I just wanted to.
I want to make sure, yeah. But until we get a real office for the association someday, maybe.
Yeah.
After we get the assessments up to $400 or $500.
Right.
That'll be a while at $10 a year.
Yeah, not in my life. Oh,
mine either.
I'd
love
to see it.
Tell them that right before the general meeting. We'll probably get a lot bigger crowd.
So anyway, I'm going to finish working on the financials to put with this. I'll try and get a copy out to everybody before I put it in here, before we mail it. But I've got to try and get all this done and get it in the mail by the end of the month.
Yeah.
So between now and Thanksgiving, I'm going to try and get this all finished so that right after Thanksgiving, I can get it all stuffed. I'll look into the pricing and see what the postage and the envelope pricing is and see what's the cheapest way we can put this stuff out.
Yeah.
And
I'm willing to do stuff. You get it ready and bring it over, and I'll stuff because I'm a good stuffer.
I'll stuff it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to do mailing labels this time because I can't fit manila envelopes through the printer very well. So the, you know, before it was pretty easy.
Well, we should do a little. We need a stamp. I don't have a stamp, but we know this is for everybody's address.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody's.
Yeah, we do have the address stamp for.
Yeah. But no, this will be for everything. So I'll just get the large. Get the large ones so we can have the return and the regular address. And I can mail merge and print those. It's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it right on the envelopes, so I didn't have to spend money on labels. Actually, I was using the window envelopes because that was the cheapest. Even though the window envelopes are more money, the labels actually cost more than the window envelopes do.
Yeah.
So to put a label on a regular envelope, you're spending more money because you got to buy the envelope too. With the window envelopes, it didn't cost us that much.
Yeah.
And it made it easy because I could mail merge right into the letter going out to them. Now it's personalized. We gave them a letter, had their name on it. And it made it easy. So, but yeah, I'll get pricing and see if it's a small manila envelope we can fold them, or if it's a big one that we can just stuff them and see which is the cheapest way to go and which one's cheaper postage too. And if I remember right, it has to go by first class, so we can't use it.
Right.
And we'll have to deal with the ones that are out of the country too.
Well, at least we don't have to send it what are they calling it? When you send it, you have to go to the post office to send it.
Oh, certified. Yeah. No.
Certified. At least they don't have to go certified.
No, we don't have to do certified.
I don't have to send anything certified.
Because it's the annual statement, I don't remember if we can send any of these electronically, but I would just send them all by mail anyway to everybody and be done.
I told them at the end of the year there would be no electronic sending because it's just too much.
Yeah. So.
So everybody can get.
So this hard one, copy. Yeah, they'll get a hard copy this time anyway.
Sit
with the annual statement.
And enjoy the paper.
Yeah.
And read your notes.
I'll try to make the newsletter brief, and because there's a couple of pictures, I'd like to put the before and after of the bulletin board.
Yeah, bulletin board. That's
okay. Yeah, we can try and put a newsletter together and get that out. The other thing we could put in here, since again we're putting in a manila envelope, we can put more stuff in. If we want to try and get the bylaws out to people, this would be a time to do it as well, because it won't cost us any extra postage.
Doesn't the postage go up in January? Shouldn't we be buying the stamps now?
Yeah, we should pre-buy some Manila Forever stamps. That's true.
Yeah, they're $50 a roll right now.
Yeah, and you're right, they're going up to 55.
Right. Yeah. So I think we ought to buy a lot.
And right now I'm so mad at the post office, I'd just as soon send everything UPS.
Oh, man.
I'm mad. Well, I've spent 45 minutes on hold with them yesterday so I could complain. Because they show my package being delivered on Thursday and it hasn't been in my mailbox yet.
Oh, I mailed a package to... I was returning some DVDs they loaned me. And I sent it out... I forget what date. But it went to L.A. Then they sent it to Tennessee. And then they sent it back to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend is in Encino.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. And then, I know me and Dick Sims, we've been having a problem with, I get his packages and he gets mine.
Well, that's weird.
So we have to go exchange packages.
Just because you live fairly close.
I guess our boxes are next to each other. I haven't asked him where his box is, but they must be fairly close. The guy just mixes them up.
Yeah.
I used to get some people's mail that were on the street over from me because we have the exact same address.
Everybody has the same address.
Oh, we have the same number. Yeah, and so we were constantly getting each other's mail.
I went down and spoke to the postmaster about that, and I asked him. I just showed him Boron's address, which I got his mail, showed him my address, and I said, why are these always in the wrong boxes? The only thing in common is the numbers. You have to read the name, too. You can't just go by the number.
Huh. Well, I can't believe all the return to senders I get when I know they are not incorrect addresses.
Right. Oh, I know.
And I've asked them, and she always says, sometimes the machine catches,
I've got my neighbor's mail, too. Yeah.
Like, well, try... getting a hold of the post office.
I can't.
You go online and I filled out their complaint form. You get everything all filled out and it says, okay, review it. Then when you're done reviewing it, there's no place to click send.
Exactly.
There's no place to click send.
I tried that because I sent another package, same thing. They said it was I paid for the more expensive delivery. Oh, it'll be there by Friday. It took 12 freaking days.
Yeah, and there's no place. There's no place to send the complaint to. You can't send the complaint from their website.
I know, it's crazy.
But you just spend all your time filling it out, and then you go back and try again and again. It's the same thing. And then you go to contact to try and get a phone number, and it says, click here for a phone number, and it gives you the email thing again, and then it won't let you send it, and you just keep going in a circle.
What do you expect? It's the federal government.
And they wonder why people go postal.
This way, you don't get a complaint. They have no complaints. Nobody's complaining. We're doing a great job. Because you can't get a hold of them to complain. I was just about to the point of writing an email to McCarthy complain to him.
I went down to the post office and I walked inside and asked for the postmaster general. He came out and spoke to me. And within a week, I had a letter of apology from them over the paperwork that they screwed up.
Now, it didn't bother me as much when it was the mail, because the mail was easy. If I got somebody else's mail, I could put it back in the outgoing box let the mail carrier sort it out and fix it. But what do you do with a package?
But
you have to take it to the post office.
A couple of times I've done that. And he put
it back in. Did you dress up so you look rich?
Yeah.
Did you dress up so you look rich?
Okay. So anyway, on the annual statement, I still haven't gotten to sit down and do the bylaws. I was going to do both bylaws in one, where we can show what I'm taking out and what I want to add to the bylaws so people can make that comparison. If I can do that by the end of the month, do we want to send those things out and let people get it?
Now, when do we have to have these out?
These have to be out by the end of the month.
Okay. This month?
They have to go 30 days. They have to be at least between 90 and 30 days before the end of the year.
Yeah.
Is a requirement. Between 90 and 30. So and the end of the month will make it 30.
I was saying I forgot something. I did read your bylaw things, and there was one thing that I think you need to take out, and that was scheduling the adjourning the meeting and then scheduling it for later in the day. I looked it up and that's a no-no.
Okay, but that was in the old bylaws, yeah. Okay. I looked through the civil code on that too.
Yeah, I did. I printed it. That was going to bring it. I printed it out.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
There has to be notice given for another meeting.
Right.
That's why you can't do it.
And I think you're right. It's probably because the civil code probably eliminated that. It's in the corporate code, but the civil code will override it because of David Sterling.
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But other than that, it was fine. You know, as far as you know, changing the term limits and all that, looks fine to me.
Yeah, you're probably right. I left it in there because I didn't look it up in Davis Sterling, but you're probably right. That's probably where they eliminated it.
Yeah.
Because a normal corporation of nonprofit can do those things because they're not governed by Davis Sterling, like a homeowners association
right.
is. Yep. Okay. So we'll look at that and see if we need to move. We'll take that out of the bylaws. Okay. And we'll make sure that everybody's aware that these are not the new bylaws. These are simply for their review and suggestions.
Right, right.
Because if we get our members' input, that gives them buy-in, which will make it easier to get the bylaws passed.
Right.
They feel a part of the process, and hopefully they'll, even if they don't give us any comments, they feel
right.
a part of the
right.
process. We're asking them.
That's right.
So I'll make it very clear that these are suggestions, and we want their suggestions, what needs changed.
Right.
And hopefully we can get enough buy-in that we can pass
and again,
bylaws.
They read them.
If we can pass the bylaws on the first go-round,
yeah.
I think we'll be really doing good. I mean, we did an election on the first try, so if we can do the bylaws on our first try, we've got that tells us we're doing things right. We're getting cooperation.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, I'll work on that once the financial's done. The financial is the number one thing,
because
we have to have that included in this. And I need to get everything in QuickBooks to make it easier for us to keep up the books anyway. And I'll tell you, going through the last several years of the financial stuff that we've collected, we've had several different boards. Everybody did it a little bit different, and nobody kept good track or notes of anything. So you're trying to go back. Well, you know, my biggest thing that I came across is I've got all these deposits for dollars and cents, but yet all of our income is $110 or $120. How do we get dollars and cents on deposits?
Well, I can tell you, we had a charge for $6.30 for.
You had
one, and I for postage.
Yeah.
So there's your 30.
Yeah.
But that wouldn't be in a deposit.
It would be. Yes, it would.
If somebody gave you a check for the $6.50 and you deposited it.
Well, yeah, but who's writing a check to the association for $6.50?
We
got checks from the association.
No,
$6.50.
No, we didn't.
No.
When we were charged for postage for when they were on the other.
Oh.
See.
You're right.
So.
Yep. See, and that's what's missing out of the financials. There's no notation of those things.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that wasn't kept very well is on each deposit, you know, you need basically a copy of the deposit slip. What checks are these? Who are they from? Because now I'm trying to match up everybody's payments based on the date of the payment in the spreadsheet to a deposit, and it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
How far back did you go?
I'm only doing 2 years' worth of deposits.
That's why I asked, because I know when my husband was taking it, he had it on QuickBooks.
Right. Yep. But I went back 5 years on people's payments, but I'm not bothering to make that match any of the banking information. I'm only going back 2 years on the bank information. But I wanted the 5 years of payments because I think that's all we can legally sue somebody for anyway in court. So I wanted us to have that information readily available, how much everybody owes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we do have that. We will have readily available information on how much everybody owes, including the late fees and everything. I'm putting all that in too, so that's all going to be in there.
And the interest, we're going to start charging interest.
Going to start charging interest.
You think that's bad? When my husband got the books, you know what he got? He got a checkbook.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
He had to go to the bank.
Yep.
I think he went back to a year, 2 years.
Yeah.
So he got 2 years worth of the bank statements, each monthly statement,
yep.
and
I helped them enter it into
QuickBooks. And that's what I'm doing right now. Same thing. And and that's why I want to get it set up. And again, we need procedure, policies and procedures.
He was going to donate the
program. Well, somebody just didn't turn them over because I've got bank statements in the old records.
Right. They just didn't.
Yeah.
No, I didn't get anything.
And I'm sure he had
to get it from, you know.
And I'm sure if I went and dug through everything, there's a lot of answers that I'm looking for in the paperwork, too. But it's not in a readily available format.
Well, I think Angel, not on the payments, but on what we spent. I think her spreadsheet was excellent.
Yeah, she has pretty good track of that. Yeah. Yeah.
And she signed the receipts as she put them in.
I found a lot of that. And I also finally realized that it wasn't the formulas that were putting the little mark in the corners of the Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Those were the notes.
Yeah.
And I finally figured out how to print the notes. Because trying to open them up one at a time and read what they are.
I know.
No, I finally figured out how to print them. Wow, what a change. Yeah, that's what I was doing till 2 o'clock. But yeah, that was amazing. That, you know, hey, I can actually work with this stuff now.
But
it makes sense.
But you're right as far as consistency, because when she would enter them, she would put the date of the check. You can't put the date of the check as the date they paid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because like me, I wrote a check October 8th, and I didn't give it to Rita till November 1st. But so it was technically...
On an accrual basis, our finances are supposed to be recorded... the day that somebody owes us money, which is 11-1, that's when it's a receivable. The day that somebody pays it is when it goes into cash. Also, same thing with bills. The day that we hire a contractor for $10,000, that's the day that that expense is recorded.
Right.
Not when we pay it. When we pay it is just when it comes out of our checkbook. But when you become obligated for the expense is the date it goes in your books as being accrual system, which is it's a pain in the ass. But it took me a long time to kind of wrap my head around it because government accounting is the same thing. You have to go on an accrual basis. So that's so that somebody that's reviewing your finances can see what you owe. They don't care so much about what's in the bank account.
That's right.
What do you owe versus what do people owe you? So, yeah, it's fun. And then the other thing we're going to have to do once I do all this stuff for next year, we'll have to decide we need to start writing off the old assessments that aren't collectible anymore because they need to be taken. Right now they're going to show up in our account as an asset. And after 5 years, they shouldn't. In fact, after 2 years, they shouldn't show up as an asset. Probably after one, because they become.
How do they show up as an asset?
Because it's a receivable. They owe us money. That's an asset. You can sell your receivables. For ours, you probably only get a penny on the dollar, but you can sell receivables. They're an asset. But as they get older, they're less valuable. That's why you're only supposed to have them on your books for 1 or 2 years as an asset. After that, they become uncollectible debt. It's not listed as an asset anymore. It's just there. If you get it, then it becomes income, but it's not an asset anymore. But your receivables are an asset.
It's a loony way of keeping
it. As soon as we put out our bills to everybody for the year, that money is actually ours. We just earned that money. And because we did. We earned it.
That's right.
Doesn't mean we got paid for it, but we earned it.
We can't.
So it's an asset. Yeah. But that's the fun of this accounting. anyway. Well, what I'm going to do then is finish this up. If everybody's okay with the format, I'll leave the watermark on it so people can start seeing it.
Yeah.
And
I'll take this up.
Yeah, I'll take the header off of all the other pages so that we can squeeze this down as much as possible to save on paper. That's the next thing. This is probably going to be more than I'm going to be able to print because I think we're going to be at, especially with the bylaws in there, we're going to be at probably 14 pages maybe with
we're
the financials and everything.
Wits or something. Yeah,
14 pages for 200 people. That's 2,800 pages, so that's, you know, 5 reams of paper, and then some, almost 6 reams of paper. I've got that much paper, but I think that would take me a couple of days just for my printer.
What about?
And you'd be running out of ink.
Yeah, that's just it. It'd take me about 4 cartridges.
I'm going to need more black. How about you? We're going to need.
No, I'm still good.
I'll have to look. I thought I had. Did I give you all of them, or did I still have one or two?
I don't know. I just used my last one.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, my light came on, so I know I'm going to be
switching mine out here any day.
So you better get another one, too. Because
and it's black?
Okay, I don't need color.
Just black.
We don't need color. Okay. I've got a couple of colors.
I think Witz might even have the stuffing of the envelope service.
They do. They just charge, you know, everything costs.
I don't mind stuffing.
And we can stuff envelopes.
Stuff it myself.
And I can print labels, things like that. But the bulk of this, if we can have it printed, will probably
If you get it printed, I can...
I'll see what their prices are. I'll check with them, and I'll check with the UPS store, too, see what the prices are per page for two-sided, because they're going to charge more for two-sided.
Well, me and Audrey should be there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a team effort.
That's fine. That's
one of my biggest complaints is I couldn't get anybody to help me stuff, and oh my God, I get to where I hate it, those stuff.
I usually do it in the evening. I'll sit and watch the news and stuff envelopes.
I enjoy
putting stamps on and the labels.
I get to where I can just do it, you know, by feel. And
counter, and I just laid things out, and when people would come over to help me stuff, I had individual pages, they would go from here to here to here to here, and they hand it to this person, they pull in this person's stuff, and we had it done.
Yeah, I would collate them while I was sitting at the computer waiting on the printer to finish printing them. I'd be collating them, so by the time it was done, I'd just sit and watch the news and fold.
Well, one time, bless her heart, Liz was doing the stamps. And she was putting them on to where the stamps were sticking up above.
Oh my gosh, that makes it
so we had
everything.
Yeah, we had to redo them. So.
And that's one of the next things. I was going to do this a long time ago. I need to do it anyway. I need to get the postage. You can do the postage online so that you can print it on the envelopes instead of having to stick stamps. Because that takes that is probably the worst thing is peeling stamps off, putting them on the envelopes.
At least it's better than licking them years ago.
Stamp roll.
Oh, I know. But you see how I got away from the labels? Because that took one step away from it.
Yeah.
It just makes it easier.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I'll get a price from Witz, and I'm sure that's what we're going to end up doing regardless. We'll just have to, this is the cost of it, and it'll be on next year's state, on their financial statement, what this stuff costs.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, once we have the QuickBooks up and going and everything working well, I figure that every meeting we'll be printing a financial statement that we'll put online with our meeting minutes so everybody can see it at any time. They can see a snapshot where we're at all the time.
Well, don't we have to do that just once a quarter?
Yeah, but if we have a meeting, why not just add it with the minutes?
Yeah.
With QuickBooks, it's just print.
It doesn't matter.
It's that simple, so you don't have to do any prep work. So you might as well just put it there. In fact, QuickBooks, I can print it straight to a PDF, which you can just put. You don't even have to copy it. You just put it up on the website. It's that easy. And it just, again, it brings the transparency. Without us having to tell people we're transparent, it's there in front of them.
There. How much do you think it's going to cost us in postage? I mean, how many stamps do you think you're going to need?
It's probably going to be 3 ounces, which right now is, 54? So that'd be $1.04. Is my guess.
Wait a minute, 54? It went up to 54.
No, 27 cents per extra ounce, so that'd be 54 for two extra ounces, plus the initial ounce is 50 cents, so about $1.04, I'm guessing.
So each stamp, it's going to take 2.5 stamps.
No, it's going to take a forever stamp and two 1 ounce stamps, which are 27 cents each.
I do have, not a whole bunch, but I have a sheet of extra ounces.
No, I was just thinking I should go to the post office and pick up those stamps because I don't want to wait till the end of the year.
See, and if we send it through Witz, we could get bulk rate. They actually will mail them for us, too, at bulk rate, but they charge for that, so you're not going to save anything.
Yeah.
Because you have to pay them to sort them because they have to be sorted by zip code, all that for bulk rate. So I've looked into bulk rate before, too.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering.
This brings back the old fire department days when we were doing 300 newsletters.
Yes.
I've looked into all this over time, but we're better off just buying stamps. So if we're sending out 200 of these, that means we need 400 of the 27 cent stamps.
And you can always call me. I'll come over and help put stamps.
Well, that's what I just said. I already volunteered you, dear.
Oh, you volunteered me. Okay, that's fine.
So I believe the second ounce is 27 cents, if I remember right.
Okay, so I need 427 cent stamps.
Yeah, and then we need 200. of the first class.
Well, you probably deduct what I've got, because why spend the extra money?
Right, no, I will. Yeah, I will.
But if it's just a sheet, that's what, 20?
Well, I think there's maybe a couple sheets or a sheet and a half.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah, we'll figure that out.
Well, I would get, well, I don't know, the 27 cents I don't think come in rolls either. I don't think you can get them by roll.
No,
now, you don't have
sheets.
You don't have to go to the post office. I was just saying, for this, we can order them online.
I can.
And they come in the post, and they can, I can. And they'll
online's
be in the mailbox.
Online's a dirty word for her.
Yeah.
I get online.
I don't go get in line anymore for stamps. I give them their $1.75 to deliver them to me.
I think we need to get, we're going to be, after the first year, we're going to be sending out stamps. Well, we're already going to be sending out stamps to people who have not paid their dues.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Their notices for that.
Well, it's just
and,
you know
that's not it, that's
it
probably what less than 50.
I did not go there and there'll be
but
no.
I just want
actually there's
the
right now there's 54 or no there's 60.
Well, see, and I'm rounding everything off.
Well, there's some I'm not going to bother. Like, I'm not going to send
it to
order.
Oh, right.
31 to 32 because we don't know where to send it.
Right.
And why she hasn't paid, I don't know. Several people that usually pay in Cabinet.
I know.
Yeah, I noticed that when I was going through QuickBooks, how many are missing this year.
I can't understand it, except they think they're due after the first year because I don't read anything.
Yeah.
So they're going to be in for a real surprise.
Yeah.
Get your mail.
So we need to get those out.
Well, and we could do like I've been making Richard do for our people that don't pay. Pick up the phone and call them.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when you tell them it's late that they show up.
I have done that. Last year I did that.
But do we have the address? I mean, the phone numbers?
A
few of them we do.
Yeah.
I don't have any phone numbers. You have them on there. I just didn't get them.
I don't put it on the address list.
Yeah, that's the that's right. You've got the sheet there for them to fill out for that. I'll stress in the newsletter, or we need to stress in the newsletter, how important this is.
Yeah, and it's not us. It's the civil code.
Right.
Yeah. Says.
Yeah.
But besides that, we need to make them aware that it's, you know, if for some reason your dues are late, we can warn you ahead of time before you get a late fee if you give us an email address.
Last year and people thanked the heck out of me, but I just don't have all those telephone numbers anymore.
And again, if we get people's email addresses, we can send out an email and it doesn't cost us anything.
Yeah.
And it's quick. So, I mean, there's a lot of things we can do if we can get them to cooperate and give
us
the info.
But we have permission.
Yeah.
To use their email.
Well, only if we're sending out things like newsletters. Now, if we give them a direct communication, no, we don't.
That's right.
Mm-mm. If we're like just like sending them a letter or calling them on the phone, as long as it's a direct thing. Now, if we're sending out bulk stuff, you know, like advertising type things, or even the newsletter shouldn't do it unless they say that we can use their email. But just to email somebody, we can, if we get their address.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you give me some telephone numbers, I will call these people.
But again, if they fill the thing out, then we've
got
the info.
What I used last time was the telephone numbers I had from previous, and that's when I called them.
Well, when I get this all finished, I'll try and get it out to everybody so you can see it as I'm getting them ready to stuff. Or you'll be able to see them when you go to stuff them.
Yeah.
But I'll get all this stuff together.
We have a good time stuffing.
Will that address the problem of eliminating the audit?
No, that we have to do with the bylaws. My plan right now, and I hope everybody agrees with this, is we need to do an audit. Yeah, we need to do an audit because an audit's going to cost us $4,000 or $5,000.
As we've done for 40 years.
Yeah, and we just keep saying, we'll get it done, we'll get it done. And in the meantime, we get the bylaws changed that removes the audit. And then we can say what audit. See, that's because otherwise we're spending $4,000 or $5,000 that we could use on the road.
Every year.
I fully agree.
And that's money we could use for the roads.
Okay.
I mean, I've gone through this stuff and the books are a mess, but there's nothing in there where anybody's trying to steal anything. Hell, we don't have anything to steal. But, you know, so that's not an issue. We don't need an audit to prove that. You know, it's just. The audit is a requirement of our bylaws. It's not even a legal requirement. The only reason it's a legal requirement is our bylaws say it is. But so once we get it out of the bylaws, until our income is over $75,000 a year, we don't have to do any kind of review. At $75,000, we have to do the financial review, which is what the board used to do. But even that, I can't see spending $600-$800 for a financial review either, especially in light of what the financial review does. It says, yeah, that's a financial statement. I mean, that's about all a financial review is.
I mean, it was the same thing every year, except he changed the numbers a little.
Exactly. Well, my husband had it. They had the audit every year. QuickBooks did it for them, and all they had to do was just go over what QuickBooks said. They just verified it and said, here it is.
Well, they don't even really verify it.
I mean, they don't verify it. They send it back.
They spot check.
That's right.
They'll ask you, they go through basically your QuickBooks stuff, and they say, I need to see this receipt. And they want to see if you can produce it or not.
Right.
Because if you can't, then there's a problem with your books, which right now there would be a problem with our books.
Well,
for the last year, yes.
Yes.
We are going to proceed to eliminate the audit.
That's my plan if the membership votes for the bylaws.
Okay.
That's big. That's the biggest thing I want to change. That's one of the things I want to change. That, the elections, and the term limits.
Yeah. We need to put that on a future agenda, or?
Well, it's in the bylaw. It's already in the draft bylaws to eliminate it.
Okay.
And again, I think the best thing is just to give them to the members and let them look them over. And once we get enough people to give us suggestions, then we put them out there for a vote. And then once it's passed, we just say what audit.
We just have to have a majority.
Yep.
Okay.
That's all it takes for the bylaws, is a majority.
Okay, I know the others.
No.
Well, we have to have a majority of a quorum.
Yeah.
So we have to get a quorum, and then a majority of that has to approve them.
Okay.
But at least that's a lot better than the CCRs.
Oh, yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's 75% of all the property owners.
That's right.
And 100% of all the lien holders.
And you won't get that. There's absolutely no way.
There's no way.
No.
Yeah. We can't even get 75% of the addresses from the people. So.
That's right.
Yeah. But anyway, we're getting there.
I'll help you
stuff. But yeah, I'd really like to see us eliminate the audit requirement because I'd like to spend that $5,000 on roads instead of paperwork.
We'll have five of the stuff, and that'll take.
And then that's the other thing that we'll be talking about next year is hiring a company to do this stuff for us. I'll have that on the next agenda for us to talk about again.
Yeah.
Maybe by then.
So you never got the. Did you get? I forwarded you Linda's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because. Jason went to three different companies, and two of them turned us down, and management was the only one that was willing to work with us. So.
Yeah, because we're not big enough for them.
No, we're not big, and we're... I mean, the one guy actually came out and took photos everywhere, and then still said no.
Yep. Because we don't fit in what Sterling Davis says.
Exactly. No,
exactly. We don't.
We don't fit.
We're so small.
Crazy, I know.
And our dues is so
okay.
low.
Well, we'll get this work done. So I guess what we should do, though, is to, since I've got a line item here, discussion and possible action for the annual statements, if somebody would like to make a motion that we go ahead and finish them and send them out, then I will do that.
I make a motion, we finish them and send them out.
I'll second that. And you're going to get the stamps, so I'm not going to worry about going to the post office to get stamps.
I can order stamps. That way they'll just come to our...
Get plenty, so we'll have them for next year, too.
Well, how many extras do we want for next year? We're going to be sending out probably three newsletters, maybe four for the year.
The newsletters goes to everybody. So you figure 200 because some people don't send to.
Then we have
letters. I do. There's. I've got.
Well, I mean, you subtract.
Right. Last time I think it was like 173 or something.
Yeah.
But if we figure 200 for each, that gives us extra stamps for the stuff we do in between.
Right. Okay.
That's about right. So we probably should figure 200 a quarter is about what we use in stamps. So we need 400 for the year, plus when you mail out the. Statements.
Yeah.
Now, what we could do is try and coordinate the statements with a newsletter.
Yeah, there you go.
And stick them in the same envelope.
Yeah.
And save postage.
Not everybody would get one of those other ones, but the bill. But that's all right. We could work that.
Uh huh. That way we could save postage. So we may be able to get if we coordinate all of our things that we have to send out, we may be able to do four mailings a year and cover everything.
Yeah.
And that was instead of five or six mailings.
Smart idea. Yeah. So I was already thinking $600 worth of stamps, but maybe
That way we could do, well, that would still be $400 worth.
Yeah, it just...
But I think we could get by with that.
This is going to be $400 worth, too.
Yeah, I know.
That's $80.
Uh-huh. We might be able to get by with $400 worth of stamps for everything except for the end of year where we have to send this out.
I just want to get them
before the price goes up. Where we're going to need to put the extra postage on.
Because that's a big jump.
Yeah, and the forever is only for the first ounce. So when the price goes up, the price for the second ounce is going to go up too, and we'll have to buy new stamps for that because it'll be even more expensive.
Yeah, so just get the Forever stamps.
For the Forever's only for first class 1 ounce.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They gotcha.
First ounce.
They gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well. All right, so I will order, in addition to the 200 stamps for this, I'll order another 800 for to cover us for next year while we can get them for 5 cents less.
Right. Well, that 5 cents adds up.
Hey, it does when you're talking about 800 stamps.
Each month because I can't. They're closing the electric company office.
Yeah. So that'll be 1,000 first class stamps.
Yeah, but that's what we need.
I don't know. Still have a box.
$500 worth.
Oh, really?
It's still
is
cheaper.
Yeah. It's cheaper to do it now.
Electric bill.
Yeah. Well, that saves us $50. That half ounce. Or that 5 cents an ounce.
I go already on.
And we'll have to buy some more 20 cents. Well, 7 cents, but we'll get those when we count.
Well, I'll go ahead and order 400 of those because that'll cover us. And we'll, if we don't use them this year, we'll be using them next year anyway when we go to do it again, because this is every year.
Yeah.
The good thing is, once we have an outline like this, it's just a matter of checking to make sure we have everything updated and hit print.
Years ago, I used to stick two stamps on. You can't do that anymore. Yeah. It's so expensive.
Okay.
Of course, we're going to have extra anyway once we have to take to the post office for Holland and Canada.
Yeah.
Just Holland, Canada, or Hawaii.
We got one in Hawaii, too?
Hawaii.
Well, Hawaii's first class. That's regular mail.
They're part of the U.S.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking of the ones of them far away.
Okay. All right.
Alaska.
Well, I guess now what we can have is a motion to adjourn. For future agenda items. Anybody want to throw anything on the agendas?
I want to vote Carl back on the crew. I don't...
Well, all we need to do is have him rescind his where he quit. Just tell him to change his mind.
Yeah.
And we'll put him back on.
Well, he already has changed his mind.
Okay. Time to give us a note saying that he rescinded his...
I thought we had to vote him back.
Why? We never voted him off.
Yes, we did.
He quit.
No,
he quit.
Okay.
So just tell him to give us a letter saying he changed his mind and he'd like back on. And he's on.
Okay.
We don't have to make it over.
Because we are... We already been cutting down some of the trees again.
Yeah, no, we don't need to make a federal case of it. Just tell him to give us a note saying he's back on.
Yeah, and I can put it in the minutes, and then it'll be
exactly
okay.
Yeah, that's easy.
Carl keeps us on our toes.
We want to make life easy for everybody, especially us. We got enough to do.
He's still talking to him.
Hi.
Anything else?
At some point, we'll get to do the liens.
Can I take
yes.
you back on in the middle?
God, what was our timeline for those that we had to do?
I forgot so much.
Hopefully we haven't missed it again already.
Well,
I think it's 90 days.
90 days sounds familiar.
So that gives us until February.
Yeah.
Okay, so we need to work on the liens. We'll have to look it up. Hopefully we can do it in January. We'll put it on January's agenda.
Okay.
That gives us time
to... We have to vote on it in an open
meeting. To apply liens.
Yeah.
And again, we have to decide, are we going to, because it's going to cost, and are we going to recover enough? I think we need to start doing it, though, especially these lots that we haven't collected on in 10 years. We might as well lien them and take them over. We're going to have to pay property taxes on them, but we get for sale signs as soon as we get them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Even if we only get...
Let's give them away first.
Now somebody owes us money again.
Right. Let's look at the property first, so ones that are...
Have a raffle.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying as long as somebody takes the property, then they owe the property taxes and they owe us $120 a year.
Yep.
So I mean, even if we take the property, it's going to cost us, but we'll recover it in a couple of years from the deuce. So even if we give the stuff away, literally, give it away.
And this sounds terrible, but I really would love to get that lot on Morgan and Sand Canyon.
Yes. Overfields.
Overfields, yeah.
Yes. There's a few.
If we could get her property, that'd be perfect. We could put our building up there, and that'd be a perfect place for our office, right in the middle of everything.
How many people would buy a $5 ticket to win 2.5 acres in Saint Daniel.
There's some crazies.
If 100 people
that'd be way ahead.
Yeah, that would be.
I can tell you one of the things that's on every truck auction that I watch is 4 or 5 parcels of land, and most of them are from Cal City and Lake Los Angeles and up around Lake Arrowhead. And what it is it's the county or other local governments that are taking them for back taxes.
That's
and
right.
then putting them up for sale.
Yeah.
Rather than going through a realtor and spending that kind of money,
right.
they just put them to the auction. And they'll get anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000 for the lot, depending on where it's at and how many people are interested at the time. And these people buy these things sight unseen.
Yep.
So we could sell some of these.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of these people. I think a lot of people bought these stuff.
Yeah, and it'd be the same thing. We just send them, give them to the auction. The auction gets their commission from the buyer, so it doesn't cost us anything to sell them.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that may be a way for us
that's
to sell.
You know, okay. get a little money into the account.
Even if we got $500.
That's right. $500 you didn't have.
Yep. Yeah.
And it helps cover our costs for the lien, and now they owe us money every year.
That's right.
Get some dues coming in again.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you won a $5 ticket.
Well, you mean if I finked out on my assessment, and you took the land, and then you could sell it back to me for $500, and I'll net the whole board a sweater.
Yeah, I noticed that Kern County, they finally passed an ordinance where the stuff that goes to auction for back taxes cannot be purchased by the property owner.
Oh, really?
Yep. They finally did that
because
that's what was going on. People would go to the auction and buy their property back for half of what they owed for taxes. Yep.
Jones next door, she could have a compound one.
We want to adjourn?
One more thing on the agenda.
Okay.
The letterhead. are we going to do a letterhead?
Well, that's basically what this is.
Yeah.
But we will officially approve it.
And we don't have facts on there. We should have everything.
Ah, you're right. That's what's missing on here.
If anybody wants to contact us, there's no excuse not to.
What's missing?
Phone number, email,
no, I didn't.
Fax.
I didn't put email addresses. Well, fax we don't have.
Yeah.
We don't have fax, but we do have email addresses that I can put down here. In fact, our website, too. I need to add a footer with the email address and the website. Yep.
Okay. And for the logo, just put, how the mountains are back there. And just do that. Skyline.
That's basically what this is. We're talking about for a logo is something
this
that you can put on magnets to put on car doors when we're working on the roads and stuff to identify us. And then we can shrink that same logo down to fit on the header up here.
Oh, well, yeah, I was thinking, when I drew it, was that it would, the logo, the mountain.
Right.
It would be under the header. That's what I was
thinking. No, we'll try and put a logo up here.
In the curve of the mountain. But.
And then we can get some signs, the decals made up to put on our stuff. As we get equipment and stuff, we can put a decal on.
I think business cards would be nice, too.
Yeah.
Just ones that we can print ourselves.
Yeah. I have a question. Are our vehicles that we use, our personal vehicles, are they covered?
They are covered for excess. Your insurance is primary.
Right.
And then the association's insurance takes anything above and beyond what your personal insurance covers.
I'm not really worried about it, but it was brought up, so I thought I would question.
No, that's why we had that, over a year ago now, where we had to discuss how much insurance we had to carry on our personal vehicles.
Right.
Yeah, and then our insurance company took that out of there, and it's back to the standard. Because, what they wanted was way up there.
I don't have that anymore.
Yeah. I over-insure on liability for vehicles because an accident's too expensive nowadays not to. I don't cover my cars because I just get another one of them. But for liability, I keep plenty of that. Because somebody's going to sue me. All right. Are we good?
I think so.
Yep.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Looks like 10:36. Anybody want to second it?
Yes.
Okay. I thought maybe we were going to stay here longer. Any opposed? All right.
Save it. That's a little tight.
Well, that was a fun meeting.
Yeah.
And I actually was able to stay awake. No, I think we're doing a pretty good job. We actually aren't even